This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
404 on your Afternoon Drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Philip Teresi and Skip Echeverria. Join us at 490-5858, toll free 800-776-5858, or on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live at Drive KMJ. We were just talking about Clovis off the air and just the difference when you get east of Willow. But we'll talk about how people drive another day. Herman Nagra was one of the would-be city council candidates. He was the one that got accused of grand theft for stealing a bunch of signs.
Yeah, he had made the statement that he was doing the city a favor by removing them from the property. I think if I remember correctly, it was outside of some like convenience stores. And then stored them in his backyard. But the thing was, he did it in the middle of the night and he did not have permission. And then he was busted with the signs. Not a good look, but did not back down from the fact that he had done anything wrong. He said he was saving the city money.
Yeah. And then he decided that he was going to file a claim against the city as a civil unlimited case, seeking compensation for damages. The city manager of Clovis has issued the following recommendation. Reject the claim. Quote, the city's not liable for the claim. In addition, by rejecting this claim, the time in which lawsuits may be filed against the city begins to run. They're going to send a letter to Mr. Nagra letting him know that his claim has been rejected. The city council members who were affected by Herman Nagra's theft did recuse themselves. And nevertheless, this was still the decision made by the Clovis City Council telling them to get lost.
Now, one of the issues that Mr. Nagra brought up was an excessive force caused by an officer and a politically motivated false arrest. Now, we have a statement from a woman named Rachel that was included in this article from our news partner at Fox 26. She spoke out saying that the decision was vindictive and small-minded. For this crime, at least 10 SWAT police officers showed up early on the morning of January 28th. They pounded on the door, ransacked the house, and handcuffed Herman Nagra, Montanua, and the city of Clovis currently persist in prosecuting Nagra as though he is some sort of dangerous criminal. No, it's just that, like, Clovis has a lot of time because things are super safe and you stole things.
You committed a crime and you're being prosecuted.
10 is a lot. I mean, but hey, you know, how many show up to like a fender bender? It's Clovis.
That was kind of where my head was going. I'll never forget getting pulled over. I like one of the only times that I was the DD. A couple of buddies of mine called me from Old Town Saloon or back when the bar, you know, two doors up was called In Cahoots. Hey, we need a ride. So I pulled up on Clovis Avenue, just, you know, a stone's throw to the north of 5th Street. They jumped in the car, and we took off northbound on Clovis to go to Herndon Avenue. And you know how, as you get past Sierra, it does the curve, right? And there must have been a cop sitting on Sierra, because all of a sudden I got lights and woo-woo-woo in my rearview mirror. I pull over, and the cop comes up. Look, everybody in the world knows they were fishing for drunks. I ain't mad about it. The rationale for pulling me over is one of the two lights on my license plate was out.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like I said.
I've gotten pulled over for that one. The one time I had to go through a whole DUI checkpoint thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. Whatever. I'm
okay.
I'm good with it. I'm also sober, so I'm really good with it. Like, oops, sorry. Do you want me to go to Napa right now or could I do it in the morning? We're easy. I'm sober. I'm driving a car registered in my own name. My insurance is current. And I'm playing designated driver for my two goofy buddies who are both legal adults who called for a designated driver to get home. Like, other than my license plate light being out. Where is right as rain, man. They had two other cars pull up behind the one that stopped me. I had six cops out there.
But isn't that why people move to Clovis? Like in the grand scheme of things, I could see how it would be emotionally distressful. I could see how you're feeling targeted, but you also stole political signs and then were caught on video in the middle of the night, came up with a BS story about how you were doing good for the community. Like, dude, call it an L, you lost.
Yeah.
Move on. It keeps your name in the rotation for, you know.
This is not how you keep your name in rotation to achieve. Not running for Clovis. No. Well, and even the way that he claims that he had permission to move the signs. He says, I had spoken with multiple property managers and property owners and asked them, are you allowing permission to have it on your property? When they said no, then I removed the sign. So you didn't ask the property owner if they wanted you to take out the sign. And you didn't contact the owner of the sign who had placed it without permission on private property. When you learned that a sign was on private property without permission, you stole the sign.
Well, and you're assuming it wasn't without permission, because I learned this myself in seeing a sign at a place I worked that I did not like. Over on the old Shaw building. You know, it's prime real estate, right? There was a ton of signage. And I was like, this is garbage. It makes it look like our radio stations are endorsing these candidates, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
So I called property management. And property management said, thank you for your call, but it means nothing because the owners of the property get to say, the landlord does.
Sure.
And so even if the folks that maybe were, you know, hourly workers or people that just happened to frequent those stores or wherever it was, the corners of Clovis where they took it up, they might not like it, but property owners have say, and you can't just go remove it. Can't. It especially looks bad when you're running. Not a good look. But I get it, dude. I understand. I feel you, because I made that phone call and I felt completely impotent and powerless afterwards. But at least I made the phone call.
Are you familiar with the term Streisand effect?
Like Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, that it's named after Babs.
No, I have no idea. Teach me.
Oh, this is something that I think this candidate would benefit from just pausing for a moment. And you can find, by the way, a comprehensive explanation on Wikipedia, which is good enough for something like this.
But before we get to that, this is the more important debatable moment. Beaches or Prince of Tides? Which one?
I have never seen either.
You are the wind beneath my wings.
That's very kind. I still haven't seen the movies.
I hope I just earned some credibility back for everybody who judges me for not seeing movies. I had to watch both of those movies so much. But anyway, go on. Streisand effect.
I'm a straight middle-aged guy. Why would I see a Barbara Streisand movie?
Because you were forced to watch it. I don't know. All I know is that Prince of Tides is not a movie to watch when you're a child. Thanks for that, Mom. But Beaches is also heartbreaking, but still good soundtrack.
What?
Anyway, go
on. There's nothing about this that's selling me on it, but okay, let's talk about the effect.
Gonna get you some edibles and put Beaches on.
From Wikipedia. The Streisand effect is a social phenomenon that occurs when an attempt to hide, remove, or censor information has the unintended consequence of further publicizing that information, frequently via the internet. It was named after American entertainer Barbara Streisand, whose attempt to suppress the California Coastal Records Project photograph of her residence in Malibu, California, taken to document California coastal erosion, inadvertently drew further attention to it in 2003.
Oh, I hate when that happens. That's always a gamble when you're like, oh, I got to put a cap, like try and calm this down a bit. Okay.
Yeah. So they went out. So this California Coastal Records Project went out and just like went along with, I think, with a helicopter or a small aircraft and shot photography all along the California coast. The purpose of the photography was to document coastal erosion.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with, that's Barbara Streisand's house. Like, the, nothing in the project was labeled that way. But Streisand caught wind of this thing, saw the picture of her home, which, by the way, if you've ever seen the picture, you can glean no useful information except that her house is in a beautiful location, is very large, and has a pool. None of which are particularly sensitive pieces of information about a rich person's house.
Okay, so it doesn't show, like, she doesn't have some sort of, like, the Streisand house, like, etched into her lawn or something. I mean, like, okay.
If she was in the bedroom changing, you wouldn't know it because it's shot from such a okay. distance that the windows are a handful of
pixels.
So,
like, just chill out, lady.
Just chill. But she goes nuts and starts filing lawsuits trying to get this picture taken out of the record. Well, if you didn't know this, I can drive past your house and take a picture anytime I want as long as I'm on a public street.
Yep. How do you think we get all those Google Street Views?
Google Maps. All that. Well, Streisand, in filing the lawsuit and having the big meltdown, caused a whole bunch of people who had never heard of the California Coastal Records Project to go to the California Coastal Records Project to look at the house because she was so wigged out. She was suing about the house being included in their database of photographs. And so now hundreds of thousands of people went to look at a picture of her house who otherwise would have never had any idea that the picture had existed, or had they ever seen the picture, that it was Barbara Streisand's house.
So how does that apply here with Nagra, the Clovis City Council, and the signs?
Nagra's embarrassed. He got caught breaking the law. He cost himself the election if he was ever going to win it in the first place because he got caught breaking the law. Now, he's it's all, as far as I know, it's still all allegations.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's
been a conviction.
This, that, and the other.
But there's video of him doing something that sure looks a whole lot like the charges against him. Nagra's embarrassed. It's an embarrassing thing to get caught. It's an embarrassing thing to be charged and accused. And it's probably a really frustrating thing to go to bat so hard in an election and then get blown out so badly. He's suing Clovis to try and make it look like Clovis did something wrong. The problem is what he's doing is he's calling attention to the fact that he went around, calling attention to the allegation that he went around stealing other people's stuff.
So you're saying the embarrassment piece. I'm not getting the vibe that any attention is good attention from this guy. I think I'm with you on the embarrassment piece. Some people would just be like, oh yeah, get my name in the paper, but nah,
I think he's embarrassed, and I think that he's frustrated, and I think that he is trying to make this about Clovis did something wrong. If they sent 10 SWAT officers on a no-knock warrant and kicked in his door and threw flashbangs in, yeah, too far. If they sent 10 officers wearing tactical holsters to the door because this guy was accused of stealing stuff and was popping off at the mouth,
I mean, they were already dressed for work that day.
I got 6 for a license plate, man.
It's a new era in news talk. Only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
Let's take a look at children's programming, shall we? Now, I thank my lucky stars for two things. One is that my kids are old enough to watch their own things and they have their own, like, phones or tablets or whatever to pull it up. And two is that they're not children anymore watching kids' television. I don't know, Philip. I don't know if I could wrap my head around some Peppa Pig on a regular basis.
I vaguely remember this from when my youngest was of an age where this was still, I think, just barely, like, I think Peppa Pig got big, like, as she aged out. I was very fortunate that my younger kid was huge on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Right, so you had some music stuff in there. My daughter was, my one daughter was really big into Dora the Explorer. And then my son, he was right in that pocket with, like, the Marvel movies and Justice League and stuff. So we were okay. Disney.
We had a lot of Disney, a lot of Harry Potter. My son was a creature of the Thomas the Tank Engine, Teletubbies, Barney cycle.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. No, I've still got my own alternate version of the I Love You, You Love Me song, and I can't say the rest on the radio because it's mostly F words. But I remember Peppa Pig being a kind of inoffensive, a background noise, something in the vein of like Arthur.
Right.
And if you're not familiar with Peppa Pig.
Okay. Would Teddy like a new outfit? Here we have a smart sailor.
Very English.
Very, very.
Girls can be sailors too, Peppa.
Yes, but Teddy doesn't want to be a sailor.
Yep, glad I don't have a little kid.
Okay, so why would we be bringing this up? It kind of reminds me of Babar from back in the day, like going way back into PBS. But anyway, there is something called the Peppa effect, and families are dealing with this as a result of lockdown and intensified viewing, particularly amongst kids in that age group, because they were doing the online school or whatnot. But, you know, parents still had to do their thing and might have allowed a little more screen time than usual.
So SpongeBob was the most in-demand cartoon for the 12-month period running February 20 to February 21. Peppa Pig was number two.
Right.
And now, American children are doing things like referring to the gas station as the petrol station and speaking with English accents.
Well, I mean, it is cute. You need to teach them about some good old American history, and we're not part of the British Empire anymore. America. Kids do that, right? Like, they mimic. But this is just, like, so stupid cute.
But my daughter watched Dora, and we never got Spanglish out of her.
No, but there also wasn't an overemphasis, I think, on... I mean, the delivery of Dora, for instance, was more of a high-pitched, sing-songy thing than something that I think you could really trace back to a region. We all dabble in trying to be British here and there, British or Australian, because to Americans, we just sound, you know, I don't know, white bread, normal, plain. I don't know. It depends on how you want to do it. British accents are fun. And I get sometimes stuck on these videos where little British kids are like, you know, throwing a fit or talking or whatever. I'm like, that just sounds so cute. Now, I know it's annoying to their parents because their parents have to hear it all the time. But are there worse things for kids to be doing than faking a British accent? Do you want them to do Beavis and Butthead? I don't know.
If your kid's talking with an English accent because they've watched that much Peppa Pig, your kids watch too much TV. Because your child's picking up their concept of language from their interactions. You learn to talk by having people talk to you. Mm-hmm. And all of the usual, you know, little baby... you know, cues, and the, you know, you learn these bits and pieces as you move forward.
So are you saying parents are passing the buck complaining about Peppa being too influential when really it should be sitting back and looking at the parenting habit of
I'm saying there's a
sitting.
Massive parenting problem. So your dad's first generation immigrant. Yeah.
Yes.
Still,
he's an immigrant. Yeah, I'm first generation American. Yes.
Yeah. So your dad obviously then would still have probably at least traces of an accent, right?
Oh, no, he has a super accent because he speaks Spanish every day.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask. When he calls a cousin or a buddy back home and he spends 20 minutes on the phone having a conversation in his native tongue or even in English with somebody who has that same regional accent, your dad's accent gets thicker, right?
I just feel like my dad always has it because, okay. again, like, I mean, he doesn't speak Basque every day, but he's speaking Spanish every day. And there is a difference between, you know, Spain, Spanish and Spanish here. But yeah, I don't think he ever lost it. Okay. But I do have friends that are bilingual who can switch into, you know, I guess I don't know what you call it, just American, because that's not the right word.
It's an American accent.
Yeah. Yeah. I've also seen this, though, with people who grow up in more kind of, I guess, niche cultural areas. Maybe if they're, you know, from the South and then they put on their, you know, California accent, or if you have. My favorite is when people use their newscaster voice. If you've watched any of those videos that go around where it becomes that very proper.
The East Coast, West Coast media non-accent. Yeah. Where we Californians start tightening up our vowels and using our R's again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to school with a couple of boys, the Walsh brothers. And their folks had brought them over from the UK when they were like kindergarten. Well, by the time I got to know, I can't remember the little one's name, but David was my age. And so we're like third or fourth grade together. At school, in class, interacting with his American peers, David had no accent. And we were going home with them one day. We were going to just like go play, you know, play basketball in the driveway and hang out on a Friday kind of thing. And I loved David's mom's accent because she had this proper, like, full, like, deep English accent. And he got in the car and she asked him a question and he answered her, but he was still talking with an American accent. And she kind of looked at him funny. And he turns and he looks at me and he goes, "Sorry, hang on." And then he turns back and, like, throws on this thick Cockney accent so that his mother will understand literally the exact same words. Yeah,
well, I think sometimes the phrase might be code switching a little bit. Like, you figure it out and you adapt. I will say my kid's grandma is a British transplant. And so they've picked up, like, they'll say mum sometimes, like, in or grand, or we're going to have a proper tea. Like, they pick up some of that. Brits, it's a fun accent. More kids doing Peppa Pig, in my opinion.
So you're good with this, even though it means they're being raised by Netflix.
There's worse things they could be watching on television, like the news.
I guess it's just an improvement. They're not all talking like Rick Sanchez.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
But Daddy, you go and see the large one. Please.
You're not going to the pub.
Why?
Because you're a child.
Yeah, but I went a couple of times, Mom.
Not at night time. You're only little.
I'm 6. Why can I not go to the pub? All the kids get to go to the pub. And then I don't get to go to the pub. Remember it was Scooby's party and it was too late and I had to go to bed. And Millie and Tony, I had to stay up at home. And Millie and Tony got to go to the pub.
It was your daddy's party though.
Yeah, but did I get to go? And I didn't get to play I only had to stay at home listening. Who was minding me?
I'm reminding you.
Why can you not let me just go for one night?
Because you're too little to go to the pub.
Mommy, I'm 6.
So I think that this is an argument in favor of not teaching your children English accents, but teach them Irish accents. Yeah. Well, and then tell them a pizza parlor is called a pub.
I mean, obviously that little girl wasn't born into a family that frequented the Basque Hotel so many times, because we got to go into the bar there before and after meals, literally since the day my parents took me home from the hospital. We didn't go home afterwards. No, we went there. True story. Jose weighs in. He says, my youngest was speaking with an English accent and using English words from watching a YouTube kids channel named Funlings. He puts hashtag standing in the queue, hashtag using the loo. The loo over bathroom. Okay, that's cute. I liked how she said who was minding me as opposed to babysitting. Yeah, there could be some fun. Let's spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, it may be because my ancestry is English that I'm just completely unbothered by kids adopting the accent or using the slang. It could also be because I've watched way more Doctor Who than a grown man should. But yeah, I think it's funny.
Lorna checking in. She says, oh my gosh, my granddaughter is listening with me. Hi granddaughter. Hi Lorna. To the show and asked if I want to hear the SpongeBob laugh. And then she proceeded to do it. I'm dying. Just be careful. She doesn't hear much more of our show there, Lorna. But that's what kids do. They mimic. And so maybe, like you said, it could be a good opportunity for parents to go, oh, maybe we depended a little too much on PBS On Demand during quarantine. But hey, there are worse things. They could have started to sound like Tiger King. So, I mean, Peppa, Joe Exotic, okay.
Just give him the remote. What's the worst that could happen? I'm going to come in and start asking you to explain cosmic nihilism because they've spent too long watching Rick and Morty and they need to understand the significance of the Citadel. TV should not be babysitters, man. Not till your kid gets the accent. My son loved Thomas. He never started talking like Ringo Starr.
Oh, I love this. We are hearing from all kinds of folks. Our dear friend Erica down the hall at Kiss Country. You can check her out there. She said, Bluey, get them an Australian accent. So if you're going to pick your kid's accent and you're just around, like, make sure you're, you know, programming them with good accents and stuff. Something you won't get annoyed with.
Don't worry about teaching them math as long as they're cute in YouTube videos.
Hey, that's where they're making some money now. We got to be creative with our 401k plans. I mean, our children.
Yep.
Should we turn to darker things?
Yeah. I'm thinking about the entire litany at the beginning of the newsroom. Most of you guys are not going to dig it because it's an Aaron Sorkin program, and it's a lot of snappy dialogue that hits on pretty conventional liberal talking points. But if you ever want to hear somebody who's feeling the way I'm feeling right now, just go watch the first 5 minutes of the newsroom and you'll understand. Holy smokes, this NGO software, this Pegasus software, NSO, we can already point to not just like this ambiguous threat, this thought that maybe something bad might be happening. We were telling you about the Guardian's investigation into the potential weaponization of surveillance software by way of the NSO group's Pegasus program, which allows them to basically totally own your phone, activate cameras, microphones, record conversations, access location, and all your data. This story turns my stomach. Drew Harwell, writing for the Post. Princess Latifah had been careful. She left her phone in the cafe's bathroom. She had seen what her father could do to women who tried to escape.
She hid in the trunk of a black Audi Q7, then jumped into a Jeep Wrangler as her getaway crew raced that morning from the glittering skyscrapers of Dubai to the rough waves of the Arabian Sea. They launched a dinghy from a beach in neighboring Oman, then 16 miles out, switched to water scooters. By sunset, they had reached their idling yacht, the Nostromo, and began sailing toward the Sri Lankan coast.
This is Princess Latifah bint Mohammed Al Maktoum, the 32-year-old daughter of the ruler of Dubai. She thought that she was finally going to escape to the United States to political asylum, but she didn't know that her father was using Pegasus.
Yes, the spyware tool Pegasus, which her father's government was known to have used to secretly hack and track people's phones. Well, it was on her phone. And leaked data shows that by the time armed commandos stormed the yacht 8 days into her escape, operatives had entered the numbers of her closest friends and allies into a system that had been used for selecting Pegasus surveillance targets.
Witnesses report that as soldiers dragged her off the yacht 30 miles from the shore, she could be heard screaming, "Shoot me here, don't take me back."
So we've had these reports coming out about Pegasus being used to investigate journalists who are trying to bring up serious concerns. And now we are seeing it here in relation to a ruler of the United States Emirates using it.
UAE.
UAE.
United Arab Emirates.
Sorry, read that backwards. Of the UAE using it to control one of his daughters, although there's like reports of that was what was happening throughout his entire family.
This is what Pegasus does. This is who NSO is selling Pegasus to. Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashad Al Maktoum, the ruler of Dubai, a man who terrifies his adult daughter so badly, she begs his commandos to kill her at sea instead of taking her back. This is a country that allows for men like Mohammed bin Rashid to indulge in honor killings. This is a man who has been known to capture and to torture members of his own family. This is a person who believes that women are property. This 32-year-old girl spent every cent of the $300,000 that she had been able to squirrel away simply trying to get to the United States so she could live her life. And this is what Pegasus did. Since she was captured in 2018, there have been a handful of social media posts from other people claiming to be photos taken with her. She has not been heard from directly publicly since she was captured on the Nostromo.
I think you said it correctly when you said it was nauseating or gut-wrenching. I guess I don't really even know that I believe when people make this type of spyware that there's the belief that we're doing this to catch the bad guys. I really don't believe it.
Oh, I
think there's a neutral approach of where can I make the most money? And this is, I mean, these are super rich. That'd be rich on a level that, frankly, nobody here, anywhere around here is going to understand.
Well, and a tool is a tool. It is not inherently good or evil. It is a tool. And the Pegasus software is a tool. It's a tool with a specific purpose, to be able to access all of the information on a given target's phone. In the hands of people who believe in human rights, who believe in dignity, in the autonomy of choice, individual liberty, this could be a very powerful tool for tracking down very bad people and stopping them from doing harm. In the hands of the ruler of Dubai, it's a death sentence for his daughter.
Well, and one of his own wives escaped too.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not just a daughter in her 30s trying to get away from dad. I mean, there have been multiple attempts from people within the family, particularly the women who feel disposable and controlled, and not just on a day-to-day level, but then to have to participate in a charade of whatever his political agenda is, you know, put forward. That's a special kind of torture in hell on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I go back to, I know a tool is just a tool and it's developed, but is there any accountability? Is that something you sit with in your, I don't know, your golden years and go back, was it all worth it? Like, who did I really impact? Because this is just one story. We're going to continue. This is going to mount.
Yeah.
And it won't be, I don't think it'll be very long before it's not just super rich princesses or politicians or necessarily journalists. Like, it, there will be a trickle down effect, especially if it gets out into the wild.
Absolutely there will. But in the meantime, it's in the hands of a man who was preparing to marry off his 11-year-old daughter to the 33-year-old Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. He was going to send his 11-year-old daughter off to be this man's wife. And you wonder why his kids are trying to get the hell away from him. And
his wife's. I mean, they're,
And the NSO group sold him this software. So we will continue to monitor for more stories from the group that are now investigating and preparing to publish more and more stories about the NSO group and the Pegasus software program. But in the meantime,
by the way, this is a guy that has touted, you know, being a part of Dubai Women's Equality conferences, all of that marketing to show, you know, progress.
Last picture of Princess Latifah had been posted in May, a photograph of a woman wearing a face mask at an airport. It's a very Western photo. It's not a, you know, burqam or anything like that. But wearing a face mask at an airport terminal with the caption, "Great European Holiday with Latifah," from the poster. Back in May. No other photos of the young woman have emerged since, and she has not spoken for herself since she was captured in 2018.
This is just one of the many that we'll see to come. And the importance, I think, of in the investigative journalism that we're seeing coming from The Guardian.
Guardian, The Post, there's 80 journalists working on this thing. When we get back, a little bit more on the weaponization of information technology and that little bar of glass, that piece of magic you carry around.
Coming up, we've got your trending topics at 5 right after the top of the hour news with Aaron Abadia, and more on the weaponization of spyware. But if you've missed any of this, you will find it on our Facebook, Twitter, and we're on Facebook Live while the show is live.
Yeah, usually.
As we cover more and more of these stories, are you on the download going, man, I need to check my phone and see if something wasn't.
It just goes back to an adage that I think is increasingly relevant. When you enter the home of a tech enthusiast, you'll hear them say, "Alexa, turn on the lights." You'll hear them say, "Alexa, turn the thermostat to 78 degrees. You'll see all of those wonderful toys. When you enter the home of a tech security specialist, you will find candles.